a great cast tonight on This Is My Best, a real Mercury cast, Agnes Moorhead, Ray Collins, and Alan Napier, who, with your obedient servant, will bring you now the Master of Ballantrae. The scene is Scotland, a strange part of it, a place of barren moors, within earshot of the thunderous surf that beats savagely in all weather on the rocky Solway shore.
Qua duris in duris, dear. Ain't tie and ain't ride. An ill day for the groom and a war day for the bride.
An ill day for the groom and a war day for the bride. I was the bride of my Lord of Durrisdeer. I, Alison Graeme, and it fell to me to play a part in the fulfillment of that bitter prophecy. At the start of the war, on that fateful winter's night in the year 1745, the old laird, Mr. Henry, myself and Jamie, the handsome young master of Ballantrae, were gathered in the great hall to decide a matter of grave import.
I will have none of it, I tell you, I will have none of it.
Father, 'twill
do Scotland no manner of good if the last sons of a line go off to war. Mayhap to die in battle and leave a no heirs to carry on the name of Durrisdeer.
Let Henry bide at home then.
Nay, Father, I did not listen to him. He's no Durrisdeer with his fine continental manners.
I am the direct heir of Durrisdeer.
Well, what say you to this, Mistress Alison?
I don't trust my judgment in this matter, my lord, for I've given my heart to Master Jamie, as you know, and would keep him here if I could.
Put an end to it. Here's a guinea piece. Will you stand by the toss of a coin, Henry?
Aye, I'll stand on power by it. Heads I go, shield I stay.
Shield. Henry will sit by the knitting where he belongs.
If you were not my elder brother, Miss Alison, not prisoner.
Henry.
Aye, Father.
'Tis a pity you're so anxious to be off to the wars, Jamie.
I confess it will be a relief to get free of this dismal moor for a time.
There is nothing here that would make you want to stay?
Only you, my precious. But you'll keep.
And so it was Jamie rode away to the north, which was the more sorrowful for us to remember when it seemed too late. For the rebellion was a lost cause from the start, and included in the news of the rebels' defeat was the news of the death of my intended husband, the Master of Ballantrae. As soon as the old lord received the news, he called Mr. Henry to his side.
Henry, I still have one son, and I'll do you this justice. It is the kinder of that to you that is left.
Thank you, Father.
Henry, have you no tears to shed for the brother you betrayed?
Betrayed, lass?
He was betrayed by all of us. I, too, sent him off with a harsh word.
Ah, listen. Even in death, he stands between us.
Henry.
Jamie won't ever die. He's still the master of Ballantrae.
He spoke truer than he knew. Some 8 years after that, it happened that Angus MacKellar, the good and faithful steward of our house, while walking along the rocky Solway shore one afternoon, espied a stranger on the edge of Craighead.
Hello! Hello there! Here, my good man. Here are some things for Durrisdeer.
Durrisdeer? The master said nothing of expecting a visitor from abroad.
Oh, you don't know me, my friend. I know your name and nickname. Come now. We'll miss out on supper at the hall. Mr. Henry will have something besides cold mutton on the board, I trust. Or is he still as stingy as of old?
You, Jamie. I didn't know you with your London speech. You're the master.
Right, MacKellar. The master of Ballantrae.
In the name of heaven, what brings thee here? If the king's men learn of it, you'll surely be hanged, Master Jamie. is the fate of all who fought with the rebels.
I'll warrant my brother would not be sorry to see me hang if it were not for the disgrace that it'd bring on the family.
Oh, no, no, Master James. Your brother has been more than loyal to you. He has borne the disapproval of his father, the alienation of his wife, all on your account.
I dare say that if Miss Allison had known I were alive, she'd have never married Henry.
Well, it's not for me to speak, my lord, but this I'm sure of. We can all rely on your discretion.
Oh, have no fear of that, McKellar. I'll be very discreet.
You shouldn't have come back, Jamie. I wish you hadn't.
Are you like Henry? Do you wish I were truly dead?
Jamie, don't say such things.
How could you have married him? He was never for you.
He loved me, Jamie. I thought he needed me.
He's taken my name, my birthright, my intended wife. But what you feel for me deep down in your heart, he can't take that, can he? Allison, answer me.
No, he can't take that. Heaven help me. I still love you, Jamie. It fell dark and still and starless and exceeding the most unseasonable. I will leave their description to one who saw them at first hand. A full account is to be found in the private journal of our good steward, McKellar.
January 27th, 1757. May God have mercy on this house. We have set ourselves to pass the evening with a game of cards. The master of Ballantrae, Mr. Henry and myself. 12 was already gone some time upon the clock. The servants long ago in bed.
Master Henry, it is yours to play. That's a very strange thing, how even in a game of cards, you display your rusticity. You play, Jacob, like a bonnet lad or a sailor in a tavern. The same dullness, the same heavy greed.
Mr. Henry continued to look at his cards as though very maturely considering some play. But his mind was elsewhere.
You know, my dear Henry, with all those solid qualities which I delight to recognize in you, I never knew a woman who did not prefer me. Nor, I think, who did not continue to prefer me.
You coward. Mr. Henry laid down his cards. He rose to his feet very softly and seemed all the while like a person in deep thought. Any particular violence, he struck the monster in the mouth.
A blow. I would not take a blow from God Almighty.
Gentlemen.
You know what this means.
Aye. It was the most deliberate act of my life.
I must have blood. I must have blood for this.
Please, God, it shall be yours. There are swords on the wall there. Take them down, McKellar, and see that we play fair. I think it very needful.
A steward here can bring a pair of candles. There is no breath of air.
I took up the candlesticks and went before them, forth from the house. It was as he said. There was no breath stirring. A windless stricture of frost had boned the air, and as we went forth in the light of the candles, the blackness was like a roof over our heads. Ne'er a word was said. There was ne'er a sound but the creaking of our steps along the frozen path.
Here is the place. Set down the candles.
I did as he bid me, and presently the flames went up as steady as in a chamber in the midst of the frosted trees. And I beheld these two brothers take their places.
The light is something in my eyes.
I will give you every advantage, for I think you're about to die.
Henry Dury, if you fall, I shift out of this country to where my money's before me. If I fall, where are you? My father, your wife, who's in love with me, as you very well know, your child. Your child who prefers me. How these will avenge me. Had you thought of that, dear Henry,
He looked at his brother with a smile, then made a fence and room salute. Never a word said Mr. Henry, but saluted too, and their swords rang together. I am no judge of the play, but it seems that Mr. Henry took and kept the upper hand from the engagement. It is past doubt the master recognized himself as lost and had some taste of the cold agony of fear, or he had ne'er attempted the foul stroke. He caught his brother's blade with his left hand, a practice not permitted. Mr. Henry only saved himself by leaping on one side. The master lunged, stumbled on his knee, and before he could move, the sword was through his body. He writhed a moment like a trodden worm, and then lay motionless. It was no hour for scruples. I ran back to the house and opened the lady's door without so much as a knock, and I passed boldly in.
There is some calamity happened.
Madam, if you cannot be very helpful, I must go elsewhere. For if no one helps me tonight, there's an end of the house of Durisdeer. It has come to a duel.
In the name of mercy, MacKellar, what's wrong?
You're not fit to hear. Whatever it was, you shall say first it was your fault.
Oh, can you not put me out of your fault?
I think that was to you. I think of none but my poor, dear, unhappy master.
What? What of my lord?
Go to him now when he sits in the hall. Speak to him, if that's what you say. Give him your hand and say, I know all. And if God gives you grace enough, say, forgive me.
Oh, God. God strengthen you and make you merciful. I will go to my husband.
I groped my way downstairs and out the door. Outside, I heard the sound of oars, of muffled oars, very guardedly rowing in the bay. I reached the place. My heart thumped upon my ribs. The hair stirred upon my scalp. I listened to me, is it? The night was hollow above me like an empty church. There was the blood stain, and a little further off, Mr. Henry's sword.
MacKellar!
It's gone.
What?
Why are you here?
It's gone. What's gone?
The master of Ballantrae. The body has disappeared.
It was a cold, sunny morning with a thick white frost when next we heard was the master of Ballantrae. The blackbirds sang exceeding sweet and loud about the house of Doris Dear, and there was a noise of the sea in all the chambers. In the great hall, the shutters were still closed, and in the chimney sat a man in cloak and boots. He did not look up till I was nearly upon him.
So, it's you, my sweet.
You dared to come back to this house?
Surprised to see me?
Henry said we'd never see the last of you.
No more will you. I'm home to stay.
What do you want this time?
I'm weary of traveling, Lass. Have you no welcome for me in your heart?
All's changed here now, Jamie. Your father is no more. And Henry's Lord Durisdeer.
I'm still the same, Alison.
No. No, you're not the same, Jamie. You're getting an old man.
If you could see yourself, you'd perhaps nay dwell on the topic, my lady. How did the world go with you?
I have undone what I could of the injustice I've done to Henry. He has all my love now.
So now he has that too. I'll not let him have the better of me, mark my words. This time there'll be no duel with swords. I grow old, as you justly remark, Alison. I play a slower, steadier hand.
at him out there.
Hang my son's mind against me. That's not enough. He's taken over Doris Deer. He'll have my son as well.
Henry, why do we stay on here in this house at all? Come, let's make up our pact secretly today. The first ship that sails shall bear us to the new world.
Aye, Allison. We'll go to America. But I'll not leave him, Lord and Master here.
Oh, Henry. There is no room in your heart anymore for anything save your hatred for Jamie.
McKellar shall continue on at the hall. And not one farthing shall be paid to the Master of Ballantrae. Do you hear me, Allison? Not one farthing.
Before dawn the next morning, we slipped out of the side postern into a night of darkness, scarce broken by a star or two. And so, at last, we were gone indeed. Having looked our last on the kind roof of Durisdeer, our faces toward the barbarous country of America.
Good morning, McKellar. How's old Petticoats? A small breakfast party this morning.
This is the party to which we must grow accustomed, Master Jamie. My lord, my lady, and the children are gone upon a voyage.
Tell me the details of the invasion.
I have no orders to communicate their destination.
But I will tell you, my dear old Petticoats, they have scuttled off to the province of New York, where my lady, it appears, is the heiress of a plantation.
No, no,
I'll follow them, McKellar, and you'll come with me. I may be poor and penniless, but I'll follow them. And when I've run my quarry down, I'll drive a wedge into that family that shall once more burst it into shivers.
February 23rd, 1763. America. The public disgrace of Jamie the Right Penniless rankles in his bones. In a poor quarter of the town, above a wretched hovel, he's hung a placard which reads, James Dury, formerly Master of Ballantrae, clothes neatly clothed. And underneath this, when he has a job, my brother-in-law sits busily stitching. The sometime heir of a proud family, set up cross-legged in public, for a reproach upon his brother's meanness.
My good man, have you no finished mending my breeches yet?
Have a heart, Henry. Have a heart. Take your custom elsewhere. I need it, I'll be frank with you. I have not eaten these 3 days. This is no pose any longer. I really need your custom.
Henry. Henry, this is no manner of behavior to flaunt your hatred by.
Allison. Alice, so you still have a heart?
Not for you, Jamie. It's Henry I'm thinking of. It's not good for him.
What's not good for me, Mommy, my dear? Hatred? I grow fat upon it.
And so it was Jamie. It was Jamie this time who packed up and fled. Where to? We had no word. Not for some months. And then...
My lord and lady, I have the painful duty to inform you that the master is dead.
Dead? I don't believe it.
Aye, my lord, dead he is. Dead in the wilderness. I myself buried him.
Where?
What did he pretend to die of?
Why, he just seemed to sicken me, Lord, in the forest.
There it is. You see, Allison, he's not dead at all. He couldn't be.
But good heavens, Master, the man's buried.
I won't believe it till I see it for myself. Do you hear me? Not till I see it for myself.
My poor, distracted husband came upon his brother's grave.
None of us could stop him.
I won't believe it. I'll dig him up and see. I won't believe it. He's been dead before. I'll come back to torture us alive again. I won't believe it till I see.
Poor Jamie's body was torn out of its grave. A still night it was, and the moon not yet set. The corpse seemed almost
he lives!
Oh, my dear, you're beside yourself.
I saw his eyes flutter. I saw him look at me. With those eyes of his, he looked at me. I knew it. He's outlived me. He's outlived me.
I am the resurrection and the life, saith the Lord. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live.
My Lord of Durastir died in my arms. The two were taken back together to the city. The two brothers. Faithful old MacKellar, seeing to everything.
With your permission, ma'am, I've penned this epitaph for them. Will you read it, please?
Here lies the body of James Durastir, heir to a Scottish title. A master of the arts and graces, admired in Europe, Asia, America, in war and peace, in the tents of savage hunters, and the citadels of Cain. After so much acquired, accomplished, and endured, lies here forgotten. Read it the rest to me.
Here also lies Henry Durastir, his brother. After a life of unmerited distress, bravely supported, died almost in the same hour, and sleeps in the same grave with his fraternal enemy.
The piety of his wife and an old servant raise this stone to both.